SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Scumbags! Rage!
Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
Level 3. This is Sports Rage. I'm going to send you a link after, George. You're going to enjoy it. You're going to be up for a little while. You can listen to it. It's only like six. It's about 8 minutes or 10 minutes or something. It's the biggest brawl in hockey history. And the most violent brawl in hockey history. And my uncle started it, actually. And you're going to hear, like, there's no video to it, unfortunately. It's one of these deals. It's like it has to live in infamy, audio only. And, but you hear the announcers, man, and you'll hear, like, oh, my God. And they did a documentary on it and stuff. There's a video of it, and there's not a video of the game, but it was in, like, 1974 type deal. It's called the Brawl at the Mall. The brawl at the mall. It was at the mall, in an arena in the mall, and it was the WHA, the New England Whalers against the Minneapolis Fighting or the St. Paul Fighting Saints. Yeah, classic stuff. I'll send it to you. But in all seriousness, listen, it was a jerk move, and Malkin is a dirty player. Like, he's done more dangerous things, though. Like, he slew-foots people, he screws people up against the boards and stuff. Malkin puts people in a weird position often, and he's done this in his entire career. So him just cross-checking someone in the face is whatever, next to the things that this guy has done. So I think that plays into the four games. I said at the time with Austin Matthews, one game. You know what I mean? All right, everyone's crying. You want to do a game here. Malkin, I would have booted him out, and I'd give him a game. You want to give him two games, fine. Four games, a little bit excessive for a cross-check to the face. It's a cross-check to the face, George. It's not like, you know what I mean? You didn't, like, there's a lot more dangerous things you can do than that. What would you do? What would you have given him?
I would have given Matthews one as well. All right, because that's what I thought when it happened.
What, for Matthews,
okay,
one?
It's a game here.
Yeah,
and, but now, once you give him two, well, Malkin has to get more than two because what he did was worse because he hit him in the face.
Yeah, but so the intent was the same, bro. Like, he hit him on the side of the neck.
It doesn't matter what the intent is.
No, but if you, goes
by intent, by the way.
I know, but you know this. If you just sort of randomly out of rage cross-check someone, whatever, dude, you can't say, oh, well, you hit him an inch lower, you hit him an inch higher. And you're right. You and I will agree with this. The NHL has this weird logic that, like, if you're walking down the street and I shot at you, George, and I didn't hit you, I wouldn't get charged. I'd be like, well, he missed. They'd say, well, he missed. So it doesn't matter.
The NHL never makes sense because, you know, let's just say you hit me in the head and, you know, you knock me unconscious for 38 days. You hit Cam in the head the same way, but he's fine.
Well, it's true. It depends on whether you go down. You're right. It's the...
Right.
Extent of the injury. You're right, because Buddy was bleeding and his tooth got knocked out, so it made it worse.
Just like if you're bleeding,
that's a good point.
5-minute major.
You're right.
Or double.
Let's say somehow Buddy. You're right. Let's say somehow Buddy was tough and he ate it and nothing happened. He doesn't get four games. You're right.
He get four games.
You're bang on about that. You're right about that.
And I hate when the NHL does that. It matters what the injury is. No, it doesn't. It matters what the intent is.
They're insane. They're insane, the NHL, with that, though, aren't they? They really are. It's like, wow. He tried to murder him. He tried to kill him, but he didn't fully succeed. So, hey, you know what? We'll just give him a game or two. Like, they're very, I don't know, like I said, they're all over the place. I just thought it was a little excessive for. It's not the end of the world. You know what I mean? I do think that we live in a, you know, pansy-ass world right now, but. George Kurtz kicking it with us for a couple more moments. Rick Saratella going to step up in it. Me and Kurtz just sort of, we agreed on some things. But the NHL, we agreed, George, the NHL is erratic in their decisions, right? We agree with that.
Oh, they're crazy. You never know. It's frustrating when you see the same. I hate it during games, Gabe, where once again you get a double minor because the guy's bleeding, even though the hit wasn't all that bad, but he doesn't have great skin or whatever the hell it is. Maybe he hit a
pinball. I hate that too.
And that's why he's bleeding. I mean, it's just dumb.
I hate that.
You do something twice as hard, but the guy didn't bleed. Oh, just 2 minutes.
You know, you're right.
No sense.
You're right. So just for the record, guys, so imagine in the NHL. You high stick someone with your stick, like not to be a jerk delivery, really it happens. Like, oh, no, your stick got up and hit someone in the face. Hey, 2 minutes for high sticking. Yet if a little bit of blood gets drawn from the guy's mouth, then it's 4 minutes. And you see, George, you see it all the time, especially in the playoffs, bro. Guys are desperately wanting to bleed. You see them right away, George, right? They're like, am I bleeding? Am I bleeding? They're looking. They're like, oh, no, look. They're, exactly. They're going up. Hey, look, is there a little blood? Here's blood, huh? A little blood? I've said it before. What about a little blood pack? A little wrestling style.
That's what they used to do back in the day. You've heard that, right? So players would tell you, I used to have a blood pill in my mouth.
Yeah. You know, I don't think now they would do it now, because nowadays you'd be probably like, all right, it'd be the biggest deal in the world. But
it was just dumb. Like I said, you could literally hit somebody who's got bad acne. You know, you hit them with a stick, you might cut them. You might cut one.
Well, that's another thing. You're right, because different skin is different, right? Different skin is different, and it is true. Like, George St. Pierre is a good example. I brought it up before. George St. Pierre is from Quebec. He's from Montreal. He's from Quebec, and he's pale, and if you just touch him, he bruises. So he was a UFC fighter, but he wouldn't get that beat up in a fight, but he looked like he was pummeled, but he really wasn't, right? Like, and he basically said, he goes, if you just, like, touch me hard, I will bruise. And he said, I look beat up, but I'm not. And it's pretty crazy. All right, George, we got like 20 seconds. Vegas and Vancouver tomorrow. Another decisive game between the two of them. Vancouver have been hot subtly here, Kurtz. They're home dogs, 2 plus 122. What do you like?
Vegas might get stoned back. I like, I'm going to go with Vegas here for the, if you want an underdog, give me the same.
Captain. That's a dog plus 130. I was going to call you. I called you Captain Chalk before you joined us. Kurtz likes the Leafs minus 530. Thanks, George.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The Late Night Anger Management Class. It's the Monday Night Meltdown. The countdown of the National Football League draft is on. It's hard to believe, man, that we're just 2.5 weeks away from this thing, because it seems like it was about a year ago that me and Rick Saratella were getting biblical NFL Draft Bible, breaking down the upcoming NFL Draft and their cycles over at the NFL Draft Bible. They already have QB rankings for next year's draft posted. Rick Saratella steps up. What's going on, Rick? Always a pleasure, my man. Good to have you back.
Yeah, man. I need my weekly dose of anger management. It's crazy where these quarterbacks are going. I'm all upset over it.
Well, we went from March Madness into the start of Major League Baseball. We've got the NBA playoffs, but there's been it's like the stock market, man. There's been a ton of line movement as far as the NFL draft props are concerned. And I find this year there's a lot more uncertainty than past years. The odds makers are kind of at the mercy of the media rumors, and you're seeing the numbers just bounce back and forth and all around. And I, for me, things are starting to settle into place a little bit. And one thing I will say, I am buying in Aiden Hutchinson, first overall pick. He's too good to pass up, and he's just too good of a football player. You can never have too much talent on a defensive line. And to me, the Jags are going to pull the trigger with Hutchinson. I just want to get that out of the way. I'm fully sold. Hutchinson will be the first pick taken.
Well, you know, I'm a big Kayvon Thibodeau fan, and I believe he is the number one player in the draft. So it looks that way. It appears to be so, but I'll never say never. I've seen crazier things happen, and I'm going to keep hope alive. I just don't think it's just a slam dunk. I don't see Aiden Hutchinson as this dominant force where he's just the clear-cut player. I got to be honest. I got a half a dozen players that I like more than Aiden Hutchinson.
But you are not the general manager of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Oh, sir, I am not. I'm not. And I'm also not out here watching AEW or whatever it is, worrying about this and that with the wrestling. I mean, I heard some of the questions between you and I. Nobody's listening, right? I mean, I heard some of the questions that Doug Peterson was asked in his interview with the Jacksonville Jaguars. I mean, it was pretty embarrassing. And you wonder why the Jacksonville Jaguars are where they are? Look no further, my friends.
Well, I think there's a lot. There's a few teams that are who they are because of how they are run. And all organizations, it does start at the top. So you're right. To me, the Panthers are the ones. It makes everyone thinks. Listen, not everybody, but a lot of people think the Panthers will take Kenny Pickett. Yet, if you look, who knows what the Panthers are going to do?
Like you said, like they are the ones that are very unpredictable and kind of incompetent, really, since Matt Rhule has been there, specifically at the quarterback position. So you figure, no, they're not going to take another quarterback. They're not going to do this again. And not that they've drafted quarterbacks, but they keep on signing quarterbacks. And well, no, this guy's going to be our quarterback. I don't see why he won't be our quarterback for years to come. But I'm not going to disagree. But that's why Doug Peterson is there right now, to try to bring a little bit of stability and credibility, and he does a hell of a lot more than Urban Meyer does. But as far as Kayvon is concerned, FanDuel's got Willie go in the top five, so basically over under 5.5 at plus 100 right now. And you like him a lot more than the mainstream media does, and I agree with you. I think the mainstream media is either getting duped or they're clueless. I don't think he lasts to six. I think Kayvon Thibodeau, if Hutchinson goes first, it wouldn't surprise me if Thibodeau goes second to Detroit, and it wouldn't surprise me if he ends up going to one of the New York teams at 4 or 5 after.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at the teams, the even after Jacksonville, Detroit, Houston, the Jets.
Or even Houston could take Thibodeau.
I mean, you're telling me one of these teams can't use a guy that is fundamentally sound, technically savvy, has all the pass rush repertoire, has to be accounted for. Impressive size, speed. I mean, one of the all-time great splits in terms of 10-yard, 20-yard splits, explosiveness. This guy, I mean, he is playing at an elite level, and I know he was banged up a little bit with the ankle this past season, but I don't know. To me, it's not even a conversation. This guy is just a clear-cut above everybody else in the draft, and I just can't imagine all these teams that are – I mean, combine these wins – from the Lions, Texans, Jets, and Giants. You're telling me one of these teams is going to let this guy slide past them? Come on.
No, I don't see it happening either. And as we stated, plus 100 right now to be a top five pick. Are you buying the Trayvon Walker hype? Because I think this is a little bit media born. I'm not saying he's not a top 10 pick, but a lot of people have him going 2, 3. A lot of people have him going ahead of Thibodeau right now. I don't buy that.
I think he is. Trayvon Walker out of Georgia is somewhat of a media sensation. I could argue that Jordan Davis is the better player there. I had a hard time. You know, I think he will ultimately at the end of the day, based on the athletic traits and the world that we live in and all these young GMs, he will go in the top 10 based on his analytics and RAS and all that good stuff. But I don't know. I don't see him as a top 10 talent, but I think he'll find a home in the top 10. I think he's a wild card. I think teams like we talked about the Jets and the Giants and, you know, some of these teams in the back end of the first round, and you got the Giants and Jets, they each own 2 first-round picks. I couldn't rule them out as high as number 2 to Detroit, and I couldn't rule them out of the top 10 altogether. I don't personally see it, but I understand why the NFL teams do fall in love.
FanDuel has props up teams to draft Kenny Pickett. Carolina Panthers are the clear front runners right now at plus 125. And Pickett is now at plus 125 to be the first quarterback taken. We got him at plus 250. As we stated, these markets move. And the sports books they're at the mercy of a clueless media. So it's now plus 125. Carolina plus 125, Kenny Pickett. New Orleans Saints plus 350. Pittsburgh Steelers plus 400. Atlanta Falcons checking in at plus 900. Seattle Seahawks plus 500. Indianapolis Colts 20-1. What do you make of Kenny Pickett? Does he get past Carolina? We know about the connections of Rhule recruiting him to Temple. Pickett's a Jersey kid. David Tepper's a Jersey guy that owns the Carolina Panthers. Do they think that Kenny Pickett's going to be their guy?
I mean, how much time do we have here? Because I have a whole quarterback philosophy.
We've got 2 minutes before the break.
Okay, here's my philosophy. So I'm hearing trade rumors that the Philadelphia Eagles could be in the market for Malik Willis. They own the 15th and 18th picks in the first round. Carolina is either going to pull the trigger on Malik Willis or trade to Philadelphia for Malik Willis. I just have a hard time wrapping my head around the fact that Kenny Pickett is that much better than Sam Darnold. I don't see it. I don't buy it. I don't believe it. I think the Panthers also feel the same way. So they don't pick again for like 130 picks after the 6th pick. They got to get it right and take Malik Willis, or they got to trade back and accumulate picks. So it's Malik Willis at 6 with, you know, really 17 and 19 and 20, the Saints and the Steelers, I think, is a home for Kenny Pickett. That's where I see that. Now, there's some room here at the back end of the first round. You got Kansas City with two picks at 29 and 30, I believe, and Detroit at 32 may pull the trigger, but those are some trade-up spots, so we may need to reevaluate how many quarterbacks are going here in round one. There's a scenario here where you could see four quarterbacks in round one.
I hope not. I've already bet that there won't be, but I don't buy that there will be. I don't buy that there will be.
So that's I got all these teams written down on paper that need quarterbacks. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, that's a crazy scenario that you've just rolled out here. So you think Philadelphia would go and want some Malik Willis right now? Well, look, I'm expecting something crazy to happen and somebody to do something dumb. But listen, Malik Willis threw a nice pass at the combine. All right, he played at Liberty against inferior competition. I think the media. I think the media likes him better than NFL teams do. Like, put it this way, I think in my own opinion, I think Malik Willis will be there. I don't know about 15, but I think you could trade up from to 12 to 10 type thing. I just don't think anyone's taking him. Look, some people think that the Lions are going to take Malik Willis in too. I don't buy that either. Jared Goff's under contract for another two more years, but we'll break it down more on the other side with Rick Sharatella. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The Monday Night Meltdown continues. This is Sports Rage. I am Renzi. Saratella's getting all fired up, Jersey style, about the quarterbacks. So let's get into Malik Willis right now, because the odds are up for Malik Willis as well, where he's going to get drafted. And it seems that I think Kenny Pickett goes before Malik Willis, but at the same point in time, I think more teams like Malik Willis than they like Kenny Pickett. But I think teams, I don't know, I just think Carolina is the team destined for Kenny Pickett. It makes too much sense, though, and who knows? Carolina are an unpredictable franchise, and I do agree with you and what you said. Is he better than Sam Darnold? Probably not, no. But at the same point in time, Sam Darnold sucks. So they know this as well, right? I mean, they keep on getting these mediocre quarterbacks one after another. Maybe they like Malik Willis. Carolina Panthers, plus 350. Pittsburgh Steelers, plus 350 for Malik Willis. The Atlanta Falcons, plus 450. Seattle Seahawks, plus 450. Those two teams have to be considered and intriguing to take a quarterback, and specifically in a Malik Willis if he's available. Not to mention, oh yeah, Malik Willis is actually from Atlanta as well. And Seattle, they can't be serious. You can't go from Russell Wilson and tell the season ticket holders that your new quarterback is Drew Lock.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think Seattle there at nine, if Atlanta bypasses a quarterback, they had an opportunity last year to take, say, a Justin Fields or Mac Jones. They went with Kyle Pitts. They get rid of Matt Ryan. They bring in Marcus Mariota, who isn't the most durable quarterback. If you look at that contract, it's kind of structured as a backup type of deal. So I do think Atlanta's in the market. They may very well pull the trigger there, get some season tickets with the merchandise. But if he does, I mean, Seattle at nine, if you look at how the offense was structured and what Russell Wilson did, they really wouldn't have to change it too much with a Malik Willis. So I think the quarterbacks are going to come off the board earlier than we think. And if Seattle doesn't find their quarterback in round one, look at 40 and 41 they own in the second round. Again, Detroit at 32, they have a business decision to make, because if they don't choose a quarterback, there's plenty of teams that need a quarterback.
Now, let me ask you, as far as Seattle is concerned, and you said, well, listen, they could run their offense. You know what, with Malik Willis, you know why I think could run their offense? And the same offense they ran with Russell Wilson is Baker Mayfield. And I don't understand. They have a capital of draft picks right now. Now, I would not be giving up I wouldn't be giving up my first round pick for Baker Mayfield. But Cleveland are they're in between a rock and a hard place right now with Baker. And I think teams know this, and they're going to try to – they know that Cleveland are on the clock, specifically with the draft coming up, that they're going to want to get this resolved. They're going to want to get this resolved, you know, before the draft and get something out of this. Baker Mayfield is somebody. You can sell this to the Seattle fan base, and he's not as bad as people make him out to be, right? But he's not as good as he thinks he is, as I stated last night about Baker. But to me, there's some similarities between him and Russell Wilson. I think the personalities between him and Pete Carroll would get along. Baker should be humbled a little bit, but at the same point in time, have a chip on his shoulder. If I'm Seattle, I don't really see what I have to lose by doing this.
Well, and the Seahawks love these big-time Power 5 program players. I would say that Baker Mayfield, despite all the baggage he comes with, I'm not a huge fan, but I'll take him over every quarterback in this year's draft, right? And Cleveland is one of those eight teams.
And would you take him over Geno Smith and Drew Lock? I would.
Oh, in a heartbeat. In a heartbeat.
Right. So, like, it's just, you know what I mean? Like, do you want to win football games or do you don't, right? That's the question you've got to ask at Seattle.
Yeah, and Cleveland is one of those eight teams in the first round that don't have a pick. So,
Baker Mayfield, I'm not the president of the Baker Mayfield fan club. I've taken my shots at him over the years. But he didn't cost them every game, bro. Their defense, like, got shredded often. There were games where he played well, went up and down the field, and they ended up losing the game. And then there were passes that he didn't make, and, you know, it wasn't the best situation for him. And as I stated, I'm not his number one fan. I don't want him as my quarterback, but if I'm Seattle, he's better than the options that I have, and I can actually win games with this guy.
Yeah, and I think, you know, a lot of it, too, this is a young kid who got caught. He got tangled in the web with a lot of strong personalities, guys like Jarvis Landry and Hollywood was a highly touted pick. OBJ comes along, and he demands the ball. I really think Baker was thrusted into a situation where, you know, he felt obligated to feed the ball and keep everybody happy. But if he gets a fresh start, like sometimes a new beginning can really sprout a flower when they're really laying in the weeds. And that's what Baker Mayfield is. And I'll be honest with you. I don't love Baker Mayfield. I don't love this quarterback draft class, but gun to my head, I got to win a game tomorrow. I'll take Baker Mayfield because at least, you know what? He can push the ball downfield. He can make those throws. He'll take his chances. He'll get burnt on a handful of them, but at least I know I got a shot. Like you said, he can will you to the win. I don't know about Kenny Pickett or Malik Willis or any of these quarterbacks, so I think Cleveland has to explore that. I think with that mangled relationship, it'll be worth monitoring during the draft. But from what I understand, Cleveland will have to come down from their asking price.
Listen, I think you can take – I think the guys – like, put it this way. I think Matt Corral is as good as Kenny Pickett is. And you can get Matt Corral a lot later in the draft. And I don't think that much later, but second round later type of deal. Like, Seattle could risk it and say, you know what, you know, we'll go for a Matt Corral here in the second round. You were stating earlier you think there could be a run on quarterbacks. Maybe somebody likes Ritter as well. I don't see it, though. I'm comfortable with my that there will not be four quarterbacks taken, Rick. The bets are already in. I got two nice big plays in on this already. No turning back, buddy.
No, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, right? But, you know, Desmond Ritter's a hot name. You know, the Saints, the Steelers, the Lions, the Seahawks, the Falcons. I mean, they're all – and I'm telling you, the whispers keep crawling up the Jersey Turnpike here from Philadelphia, Turnpike Parkway South. I'm just telling you, if you go look at the track record, Howie Roseman has drafted a quarterback almost every single year. I think every single year that he's overseen a draft, I know there were some Chip Kelly years in between, but he has drafted a quarterback almost every year within the top three rounds or so. And I think, you know, listen.
Yeah, but, you know, you were just saying, though, this is my own personal opinion, Malik Willis isn't better than Jalen Hurts is. So, like, why would you use a pick on somebody to bring in somebody that's kind of not even as good as the guy that you have? That's my opinion.
It's a valid opinion. I'm just saying, hey, if you look at Howie Roseman's track record, he subscribes to the Bill Walsh philosophy of drafting a quarterback every year. And that's what I'm hearing. And, you know, I'm not saying I agree or disagree. I'm just telling you that, you know, this is something that you have to keep an eye on.
Now, let's talk about Evan Neal, because that's what I was talking about, guys, as far as crazy movement this year with the draft. Because of people like Rick Saratella saying crazy things all over the place. That's why these numbers move. but, like, a good example is you and I were talking, like, months. I don't know. We were in the regular season. We were talking about the draft. But Evan Neal was, like, plus 750 to be the first pick. Then he was actually the favorite to be the first pick. He was, like, minus 200, minus, oh, that Jacksonville's going to take they got to go with a lineman and protect Trevor Lawrence. And then Jacksonville signed a bunch of linemen. And oh, no, they're not going to take a lineman. And suddenly now, Evan Neal, his over-under is 3.5. Yet under 3.5 is plus 150. Under 3.5 is plus 150. And here's another guy that I don't think he falls. Like, I think that, is he going to fall to 4? I don't think so. I still think he will be the first lineman taken. I guess people are buying into Aquanu right now, right, at the kid out of North Carolina State, but I'm just stating, I'm just pointing out, this is what a wild ride has been, bro. That Evan Neal went from plus 750 to be the first pick to minus 200, minus 250 to be the first pick. Now he's plus 150 to be over under 3.5 picks right now. This is what a wild ride has been with this draft so far.
It really is. And, you know, day two is where the meat of this draft lies. So, this first round, I think there's going to be a lot of wheeling and dealing. I think there's going to be a lot of surprises in the first round. Like, you know, we could talk about Sauce Gardner, where he lands. That's a wild card. But in terms of offensive line, I do think Evan Neal is the first offensive lineman off the board. I think he goes 3 to Houston. He checks off every box. Ikwunu doesn't in terms of height and length. Evan Neal does. I think Ikwunu has more upside. And the Giants at 5, they're going to have a decision to make, too, because if Carolina does not go quarterback, they're not, you know, Carolina is not necessarily in the market for a pass rusher, but they are in the market for a tackle, possibly. So I think the Giants would have to take whoever slides to them, either Neal or Ikwunu. And if Thibodeau's on the board at 5, then they really have a decision to make, because I think the Giants could come off the board with Ikwunu and Thibodeau, and they would be doing cartwheels. I know the fans would be.
That'd be a hell of a draft. That would be a hell of a draft if the Giants were able to pull that off. But I tell you what, I think the Giants are in capable hands right now for the first time in a long time. But they need to get this right as well. When you've got two picks like this in a top 10, you've got to get it right. Rick Saratella, NFL Draft Bible. Keep caught up to date with a lot of different opinions, takes, mock drafts, and everything else in between. NFL Draft Bible, SI.com. Always a pleasure, Rick.
Appreciate you, brother.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
What's the dumbest bet I ever heard of?
I disagree.
Oh, yeah, we've got dumber bets. We've got dumber bets. This is Sports Rage. I am Marazzi. Let's do this thing. All right, it's chaos in our chat here, of course, because Venture's here talking about Jimmy Garoppolo. We talked about Baker Mayfield going to Seattle. And it seems to me that makes perfect sense. If you're Seattle, you can't roll out Drew Lock to the season ticket holders after you've had Russell Wilson all these years. Geno Smith is a capable backup. Geno Smith is a capable guy to roll out when your quarterback's hurt for a week or two. He's not a guy that you want to, you know, like I said, like, what are you doing here? Like, basically, like, if you're the Seattle ownership, and I don't know. And I've been saying this, like, I disagree with a lot of what Rick said. Rick Saratella, thanks, Rick Saratella, for joining us. But I am less sure and left on less solid footing as far as this NFL draft is concerned and what NFL teams are going to do as I've ever been before. And I've got some bets in, and I'm hoping for the best, but I don't know. I think the best way to approach this is as far as over-under player positions.
because I feel pretty strongly about a few of these players that they're going to be drafted where they'll be drafted. But I can't sit here and pretend to tell you I know what these teams are going to do. I don't know. And you almost have to think, like, basically, I think the best way to do this, guys, is basically we should all, and I, you know, I do this only for research purposes. But basically, I think we all need to get extremely drunk, really drunk, and smoke crack. And then we're going to think like an NFL GM. Because, like, if you got really drunk and smoked crack, maybe you'd trade draft picks away. Like, you'd wake up in the next morning, you'd be like, what did I do? I traded what? I traded 2 second-round draft picks for Carson Wentz and a third? What did I do last night? Oh, my God. I don't remember that. Right? Like, you got to sort of think, like, kind of whacked. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, not what you would do. Not what you would do, but what they would do. And Rick, like Rick Saratella, I said, I think Aiden Hutchinson, it's a slam dunk. He's going to be the top pick overall. He goes, well, I think there's 12 guys that are better. And in hindsight, I should have said, what 12 guys are better than Aiden Hutchinson? Like, you could tell me, okay, I think this guy's a better top overall pick. I think, man, you know what I mean? I like Evan Neal better. I like Trayvon Walker better. I like Kayvon Thibodeau better. You're telling me that you think there's 12 guys better than Aiden Hutchinson? Come on. I'm not buying it. And I wasn't even sure that Aiden Hutchinson was going to be the first pick before, but now I am starting to buy into this. But, like, I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, Carolina is a good example. Like, what are Carolina going to do? Is Carolina going to take Kenny Pickett? I think they will. Except I can't really fully tell you this, that they, I don't know. Carolina do a lot of dumb things. I mean, they just off the top of our head with the quarterbacks. Like, what have they done? They had, they gave money to Teddy Bridgewater. They paid him to go away. They brought in, let's not forget, they for whatever reason, they brought in Cam Newton, even though the kid from, the Walker kid, P.J. Walker was playing all right. And then they're like, you know, they actually want to get with P.J. Walker. And they figured out, you know what, let's bring Cam Newton and make him, force him to be the starter. Let's not forget about they gave Sam Darnold. They took the Sam Darnold contract, even though Sam Darnold doesn't make a lot of money, so it doesn't really matter. That's why they can throw Sam Darnold under the bus. Sam Darnold sucks, all right? Let's just call it out for what it is. Sam Darnold is a bust. And it's not like the teams that he's on in this. Like, Sam Darnold's on bad teams, but no good team will want him. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like there's a bunch of, like, winning teams. Oh, my God, Sam Darnold's available. No. There's a reason why he ended up on Carolina. Because Matt Rhule doesn't know what he's doing and figured, all right. Like I said, how many quarterbacks they gone through? So you figure Tepper's getting tired of this? Word is that Tepper likes him. He's the owner. He's the rich dude. And Matt Rhule's this close to getting fired anyway. So it's not like he has a say in this. Owners are the ones that make the first round pick. Like, that's, you got to think like the owner, essentially. Like, the GM, the owner. But, you know, essentially, in certain instances, like a franchise like the Panthers, you have a multi-billionaire, extremely rich man who's getting tired of the losing. He's getting impatient, and he's getting tired of trusting Matt Rhule. Right? Matt Rhule was the one that told him, all right, we'll get Teddy Bridgewater. Matt Rhule was the one that, you know, told him, let's bring Cam Newton back. Remember Matt Rhule? Oh, Sam Darnold's our quarterback for years to come. And a week later, he's not. Like, you know, we could go on and on and on and on. Your Atlanta Falcons, Matthias. I don't know. What are they going to do? Like, it seems to me that Malik Willis to the Falcons makes sense. But then you get Seattle. What are Seattle going to do? It seems to me, if I'm Seattle, I'm just doing this Baker Mayfield thing. I'll make Cleveland squirm a little bit more because there's not a bunch of teams lining up for Baker Mayfield. So I'll make Cleveland squirm a little bit. But whatever, man. The draft is in 16 days, guys. Like, the draft is in, what, 2 Thursdays? It's in 2 weeks. A little more than 2 weeks right now. So the time is now. Baker Mayfield's not a stiff. He can play football. It was an unhealthy situation, a negative situation in Cleveland. He was surrounded by talent, but he was surrounded. There was infighting in the room. Some guys liked him. Some guys didn't. There was, like, you know, there was, he didn't help himself with his demeanor. And then the fact is, it was the classic, hey, listen, new coach, and I didn't draft you. I don't like you. right? Stefanski, like, basically, like, bro, the only thing I don't understand about Stefanski is, and this goes on the coach, and this is where, like, it goes back to, all right, you want to blame the player. If Stefanski, if you didn't like Baker Mayfield so much, and you clearly didn't, right? You clearly didn't, you know what I mean? Oh, we wanted a more mature personality, whatever, like subtle little pot shots. It was clearly shots at Baker. An adult. We're looking for an adult. So they actually chose a guy with 22 sexual harassment lawsuits against him. That's a bigger adult than Baker. Like, that's not, if you can't get a bigger slap than that, right? So let me ask you, coach, if you thought he was so bad, why the hell did you not run the ball more with Nick Chubb? Why would you give the ball to Nick Chubb and he would pop one for 24, and you give him the ball and he'd pop one for 12, and Nick Chubb would carry your team down the field, and then you have Baker Mayfield throw the football? But then you know that Baker Mayfield's not that good. And you're like, well, I don't even like Baker Mayfield. I'm going to throw this kid out of the bus, but what, I'm going to make him look bad on the way out first instead of try to win football games now? Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, there's a lot of malicious stuff. And, like, and another thing is Baker Mayfield did have a bad shoulder. So, now listen, Baker Mayfield shouldn't have talked about it. Oh, you know, I don't feel good this week, but I'm going to play. Shut up, kid. It's like getting your teeth knocked out in the NHL. I don't care, okay? Suck it up. So, oh, you know, you can't say, oh, I'm hurt. Now, that's an excuse, but if I play well, oh, I'm a hero because I was hurt. Like, Baker, like, you know, you talk too much. Definitely you do. But you were playing through a hell of a lot of pain, and he was playing through a lot of pain. And you had him throwing the ball left and right and running around. He was getting lit up. Your offensive line sucked. He's getting killed back there. And you know he's not very good, but you refused to run the ball. The play calling was terrible. The play calling was terrible. And then you made him out to be a scapegoat. I don't even like Baker Mayfield, but let's just call it out for what it is. All right? He's not this terrible quarterback in all this. Does he talk too much? Yes. Should he be humbled right now after what's going on right now? You're damn right he should be humbled. I mean, Baker Mayfield thought that he was going to have a choice. Like, you know, he thought, remember, he was, like, demanding, oh, you better trade me. Like, he actually thought, like, this kid actually thought there was going to be a bunch of teams lining up for him. His preferable choice was Indianapolis. Well, unfortunately, they preferred Matt Ryan to you. Right? So, you know, we can go down the list. You're really out of teams to go to. The draft is still to come. The quarterback shuffle's not completely done yet. But if you're Seattle, you can't go with Drew Lock. You can't do this. It's been proven he sucks. I don't want to, you know, as a player, as a person, he might be a nice kid. I'm not attacking him. But as a football player, like, you can't build your franchise around this guy. You can't do it. And it's been, Denver tried, and there's a reason why. Right? Like, he's not there anymore. So he can't be. He's not your starting quarterback. So I don't know. Is Seattle going to take Malik Willis? Is Atlanta going to take Malik Willis? Marcus Mariota is another sort of stopgap, not a real quarterback. Like, that's not, you know what I mean? What are you doing? You know, if you're Atlanta, what are you doing here? Keep on drafting wide receivers all the time. You don't really have a strong plan here. You got to figure something out. And honestly, if I am Atlanta, it makes a hell of a lot of sense. If you like Malik Willis. That is if you like Malik Willis. You can't take someone, you know, oh, we need a quarterback, so we're going to take a quarterback even if we don't really like the guy. Malik Willis has the, you know, he has the tools. He has the skill set. You can start Mariota and have, you know, you wouldn't have to rush Willis into this thing. You got a 2-year, very affordable contract with Mariota. You know what I mean? Like, so you could totally afford it. It's not a monetary thing. You're the Falcon fan, Matias. Listen, am I telling you that Malik Willis is going to be a Hall of Famer? No. But whatever. You're the Atlanta Falcons. You got to take somebody, right? Like, well, would you rather than take Malik Willis or some defensive back? Oh, we took Ahmad Gardner. All right, good. So instead of losing to the Bucs 42-17, we lost 38-17 because he batted down one pass, and now they kicked a field goal instead of a touchdown. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you got to get an impact player. And the fact that this kid's from Atlanta, bro, you can sell this. You can sell this. He's from Atlanta. He's got the skill set. Start Mariota. You're the Falcon fan. Do you want to draft Malik Willis?
I'd say no, Gabe. I would say no. I really wouldn't. If I was the Falcons, I'd go after middle linebacker Dean from Georgia. They need to fix that defense. They need an impact player on defense. They need to change that locker room on a defense.
Linebackers aren't a draftable. They're like running backs.
They need to do something on defense, Gabe.
They can't stop anybody. Defensive linemen. You take a defensive lineman. Yeah. Like linebackers are not.
Gabe, there's so many holes on that Atlanta defense. You're right. A defensive lineman would be fantastic as well. They haven't picked up a good defensive lineman in years. You're right. They're the king of defensive backs, and they're the king of taking wide receivers, and it hasn't worked out for them. But that's, you know, let's get real. And I think they trust Mariota right now. I don't know how successful he's going to be, but I can't see Atlanta drafting a quarterback.
No, they don't.
I can see them giving trust with Mariota for 1 year and then drafting a quarterback next year if all goes to hell.
Marcus Mariota is not a good quarterback. He's a manageable guy.
He's a manageable guy. He's not going to win you a Super Bowl, you're right.
You just like him because
playoffs on a good year.
Win a Super Bowl.
He's not going to win you a Super Bowl. You just like him because
he's Hawaiian.
That's not true at all. That's false news right there. That's not true at all. I was never a big Marcus Mariota fan, but at the same
time,
He's a backup quarterback. But I don't want Malik Willis either. I don't think Malik Willis is the guy.
All right. So there it is. That's all I ask. That's all I ask you about Malik Willis. But I tell you what, Marcus Mariota is not the guy. You can make an argument that the quarterbacks are better next year, and I think they are. I think C.J. Stroud, but the only thing is, I'll tell you what, I like Matt Corral. I said this before, and I stand by it. I like Matt Corral. I would take Matt Corral in the second round. He'll be there in the second round if you're an NFL team. I think that's what Seattle might be thinking. This is Sports Rage.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Are we done already? Quickest 180 minutes in sports talk radio. I want to rephrase something about what I said. I talk about the media jerks and stuff saying the guys suck. I like Marcus Mariota. I was a Marcus Mariota defender in Tennessee when people started to turn on him. I've always liked Mariota. I think he's a good guy. I think he's a great teammate. And that's why I was saying, I liked the signing at the time with Atlanta because he is the type of guy that, number one, if you don't get your guy, you can start him. You can, and you know what I mean? And it's not long term. You're just buying some time with him, right? So, number one, I don't have a problem with that. Number two, though, I think it makes sense. Mariota does not make a lot of money. Malik Willis has a ton of upside. And the good thing about Mariota is, as I just stated, he's a good guy, right? He's not one of these quarterbacks that's going, like, Mariota just wants to stay in the league and play a bit. You know what I'm saying? He's a good teammate. Like, he was a good teammate with the Raiders, right? He's a good teammate. He helped the Raiders, came in, made some big plays for them, right? So he's the type of guy that you could start and not have to force Willis. Because I tell you what, Malik Willis could be very, very good, but Malik Willis is not a type of kid that you want starting for you right away right now because you're going to mess with his confidence. You got to ease him into this thing. Right, you got to ease him into this. Like, they let him watch for half the year at least. Or, you know what I'm saying? Like, you can't be, all right, Malik Willis. You know what I'm saying? But I'm telling you, I'm buying into this. I think Atlanta with Malik Willis does make a lot of sense. Someone's going to jump, guys. Someone's going to jump. I don't think a ton of teams love Kenny Pickett, but I think Carolina does. And it only takes one. This is the thing with the NFL draft. It only takes one, all right? You got 32 teams. It only takes one to like you. I think a bunch of teams like Malik Willis, but are sort of thinking, all right, where do we take him? Where is he going to be available? And I'm telling you, man, that Seattle, Atlanta row, it's like Monopoly. That's where I see this landing, man. You're landing on Boardwalk, and you know what I'm saying? It's Malik Willis. Malik Willis is Park Avenue, baby. And we'll continue the conversation tomorrow. Other night, you're on your own. Later.